Today, Dr. Marcia Bailey continues with Year of the Fresh Start.
God said, what I'm getting ready to do, there's going to be an echo in heaven. And I will echo what I'm doing in your life. And there will be people from another state. There will be people even from another nation that will hear your name, call your name, and it has nothing to do with social media. Somebody say, recalibrate me. Jesus told his disciples when he was walking with them, it's good for me. I got to go, boys. Because if I don't go, the one that's going to come won't come. He said, I'm going to send you a comforter. He says, and if you begin to look at that word, the comforter, it talks about the Holy Spirit being a strengthener. He's a revealer. So the Holy Spirit is a calibrator. And so what we got to do, we can't get by. We can't bypass. We can't ignore the function, the purpose, the personality of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost, if you look at him, okay, I won't deviate. Let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter. So the Holy Spirit is equipped to restore you. Glory to God, to heaven's standard of you, the heaven you, the kingdom you. The Holy Ghost will restore your soul from the divorce, from the miscarriage, from the abortion, from the job loss, from the heartbreak, from the abandonment, from the disappointment. The Holy Spirit. The personality of the Holy Spirit. Romans the 8th chapter, the 26th verse, reading for the Amplified Translation. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid. Now, the previous verses talks about the groaning of creation for the manifestations of the sons of God, that the earth is out of whack and it groans for the God's people who God created to be to show up. He says, so too, just like the earth is groaning, the Holy Spirit is groaning. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid, bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray, what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication. And pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. So the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, our strengthener, and our aid, when you begin to pray, when you begin to speak those utterances, when you begin to pray in your heavenly language, what the Holy Ghost does, he knows. I'm going to go. Let me read the 27th verse before I get off here. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit. What his intent is. God who searches the heart knows what's also in the mind of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So he said his intent because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. So the Holy Spirit, our helper, our strength, and our aid, groans within us as we deal with the situation. God, there's something going on in my life. I'm stuck here. I'm frustrated. I prayed about it. I prayed in my language, English. And God says, now, here we go. You already prayed, but you guess what? There's a prayer that you can release that prays according to the will of God. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, those broken places in your life, those things that are not in alignment, he goes to them. And he begins to aid them. It's basically, he gets like a car jack. He said, you've been riding lopsided. Let me change this tire. So he jacks you up in a place. So there's a balance on the inside of you. He said, that's what you need. Now you're in balance. And he said, and so he, and then, he go, then you're praying. Then he goes and takes your prayer request. Because she's like, you're praying, God, this hurts. But the Holy Ghost searches. He says, God, this hurt because she was abused. So versus just fixing the leaves, he deals with the root. So he goes, he said, I know she's just praying about this, but I'm searching. And so he takes your prayer request and he brings it to God. I know she's asking for this pain to go away, but what you need to do is help her to get to a place to confront the rape. Because what the Holy Ghost is all about is restoring you to factory standards. So you can go down the block with a donut. You can go downtown with a donut. It's a tire that's not really your tire. But you can't go across country with a donut. You need a tire. And so what God's been trying to tell us this year, this past year, you've just been trying to get a donut. You've been just trying to get this little thing patched up over and over again. He says, "This your tire is too patched up, boo. You need a new tire. And I need you to get under the power of the Holy Ghost. I need you to lay before God. I need you to begin to pray in the Spirit until that thing is lifted off you, because what I'm trying to do is to fix you where you've been broken." So he goes and he pleads before God in harmony with the will of God. With the will of God. Check this out. You might want something, but he said, I'm trying to work my will. So he's working his will, and your will, his will trumps your want. But if you submit to his will, you begin to see your wants. But your wants won't go over his will. His will first must come first. And so as you get before God, as you begin to pray in the Spirit, he begins, the Holy Ghost inside, he'll strengthen your weaknesses. He'll help those broken places. Man, there's some things that kind of happened early part of last year that have messed me up. I was done. But then God began to deal with me. He said, Marcia, you're going to church. You're still serving. But I don't see you serving. You're there, but it ain't you. What do I talk about? You can keep showing up, but what you've gone through has taken you out the picture. And see, through the naked eye, I'm still there. But a trained eye, I done left the building. Because when the pain's too much, you check out. And God began to deal with, he's a Marsha. It is what it is. This thing will not change. I know you're bothered by certain things going on with your family in New Jersey, but if you begin to pray and begin to release your heavenly language in those weak areas, I'll begin to fix them. How did I know dealing with moving my mother out of her place would stir up so much stuff? One thing can trigger event after event after event. And God said, I'm just tired of you living with the wound, living with the scar. It's festering. I want to put my balm on it, cry out, and ask me to recalibrate you. As I moved my mother things out, I came across my things. From when I was young and different things, I started seeing. I started going down past history. I started looking at those things. Things got stirred up. And so I'm like, yeah, that's happened. I'm good. You know, how we do? I'm good. I'm okay. Everything all right? I'm good. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. But the Holy Ghost, he searches. And he says, you're not okay. He knows you're not okay. Then you get to a place, and many of us are in a place that being okay just ain't cutting it. It worked before, but it ain't working now. Why? Because God got something in store for you. He got something for you to do. He still has his will on the table for your life. And so he wants you to get uncomfortable. He wants you to be tired. He wants you to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. He wants you to be frustrated with being frustrated. He wants you to be hurt by being hurt. He wants you to be down by being recalibrate me. So the Holy Ghost. So as you begin to pray in the Spirit, Jude 1 and 20 said, but you, beloved, amplified, build yourself up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Ghost. So recalibration happens that we pray daily in the Holy Spirit. Not just for things. God said, I need you to begin to release your prayer language. Lord begin to say, like in Ephesians, be filled with my spirit. Be filled with my spirit. Not like one drunk, but be filled, singing unto yourself with psalms and spiritual songs, making a melody in your heart as you do just that in your kitchen, in your bedroom, in your car. Praise God, in your prayer closet. The Holy Spirit, who's the agent of creation, involved in the power of God. When God began to speak, he hovered over the confusion and the chaos. When it began to say, the Spirit hovered over the face of the earth, and the earth was formed without void. That speaks of chaos. The Holy Ghost hovered over chaos. The Holy Ghost hovered over thing that was in disruption. The Holy Ghost hovered over thing that was destroyed. The Holy Ghost hovered over confusion. And he said, and then God spoke a word. Glory to God. God says, you begin to lay before me, as you begin to offer up songs before me in your heavenly language, as you get to a place and say, you know what, God? I am not tired of praise and worship. I am not tired of corporate prayer. I am not tired of praying in the Spirit. We got to do it again and again and again. And because God says, what I want to do, I want to begin to recalibrate you so you can begin to look a little bit more like I called you to look. I want you to be what I called you to be. So as we go, even though you don't see anything, the Holy Ghost is hovering over you. And he's recalibrating you. He is anointing your head with oil until your cup overflows. Glory to God. He's lubricating your joints. You didn't know you were depleted of oil. You didn't know you were getting below your engine. But God says, I'm going to hover over you. And I'm going to recalibrate you. As you care. And then that thing you thought was the issue, it's just putting attention to the root of the issue that has been disguised and has been covered up by makeup and nails and clothing and houses. He said, I'm going to find that thing that you dealt with when you were at 5, and I'm going to root it out of you. And I'm going to allow you to see what it is. And I'm going to allow you to call that thing. And I'm going to allow you to confront it. Then I'm going to allow you to see the spirit behind that thing. Then I'm going to allow you to curse it and bind it and release it to me. And as you release it, all of a sudden you find yourself in a place, wow, that thing doesn't restrict me like it used to. I'm not saying God's going to perform magic and make it disappear. But it no longer hinders your driving, no longer blocks your view, no longer keeps you from staying in the middle of the road. It's there, but it does not labor you and block you and stop you. You just keep on riding. So recalibration, somebody say regroup. That word regroup is a military term. It means to come back together in tactical formation. After you've been dispersed, after you retreated. God said, many of you have retreated. You ran. It got too hot. You didn't know it was going to cost so much. You didn't know it was going to hit so much, hit so hard. You didn't know it was going to hurt so bad. So you said, deuces, I'm done. I'm out of here. God said, it's time to regroup, reorganize, come back in tactical formation. What am I talking about? Come back to church. Come back and serve. Come back and live for me. Stop saying, you know what? I'm coming to church, but I'm going to sit in the back when you used to sit in the side or you used to sit in the front. No, God said, you retreated. The you that was created and before all hell came at you. I want to speak to that girl, that man, and say, come on, live and be strong in the Lord. There's more for you to do. Don't run. Come on back. I'm saying it's amnesty time. You know, there's times when you've done something wrong and you ran, and if you come back, you think you're going to get locked up. God said, no, this amnesty. If you come back, it's going to be okay. But check this out. You got to come back and acknowledge you ran. Don't come back and pretend you were there all along. Come on now. We all know you said deuces. You all know we said, you said peace. Just come back and say, look, I had some challenges. Look, my life got a little crazy. Look, it got too much for me. I didn't know what side was coming and what side was going. I just lost it for a minute. But I know what God called me to do. And I can't stop coming. I can't stop being. I can't stop serving. I want to join back up. God said, if you do, many people have to make up time. Many people have to do their first works over. Many people have to start at the first level. But God said, if you come back right, God says it's amnesty. I'll give you favor. I'll give you favor with an employer. I'll give you favor with your spouse. I'll give you favor with your leader. I'll give you favor with your children. But you got to own up. You got to speak the truth. What am I saying? You can't play like you were there and you've been gone. Some of you need to go back home because you've been there, but you've been gone. You've been in Hawaii for 5 years. But you didn't need to go back and say, honey, I'm back. I know I left you high and dry. I know you've been sleeping with a corpse. I know you've been sleeping with somebody who's there, but not there, a zombie. But I made a decision. I'm regrouping. I'm reorganizing. I'm restructuring. And you go to God and say, look, God, I need some help. I need you to fix me. That's what David did. David was the king of regrouping. What is that? You go and inquire of God. When it looked like it got too much, when the enemy came up against him, he said, oh, let me go to God. God, shall I win? Will you help me? Okay, will I overtake them? God said, go, and you'll recover all. And that's inquiring of the Lord. You regroup, you go to God. You restructure and say, God, I did this. This didn't work. I felt like this. I don't know what to do. God, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to inquire of you, and I'm going to ask you, how do I need to proceed? 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, the 6th verse. David was now in great danger because his men were very bitter. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. About losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord his God. He began to encourage himself. Then he said to Abiathar, the priest, bring me the ephod. And Abiathar brought it, and then David asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. So David and 600 men set out, and they came to the brook of Besor. But 200 of the men were too exhausted. Somebody say, regroup. To cross the brook. So David continued to pursue with 400 men. Sometimes regrouping is letting go some things. Sometimes regrouping and say, you know what? I know we started, but we can't continue. Don't mean we ain't cool. That means you just too tired right now. Come on now. Anybody that walk the streets, hang out on the street, you don't want to walk the street with somebody that's scared. You want to walk the street who's ride and die, who's going to fight with you. I've been in some situation I thought we were cool, and they left me high and dry. So I learned that there's sometimes, some battles, you got to let people stay by the water. You got to let people stay by the stuff. But when we're going into battle, I need some fighters. I need some people who ride and die. And that's what you need to begin to take a look at your crew. Take a look at your team. Take a look at the people serving with you. Take a look at them. Well, they don't mean they ain't good, but maybe you need to let up off of them some because they're a little weary right now. They need to drink some water. They need some refreshing. But you go and handle that stuff, and you go bring back the spoils, and you go and share it. Because the ones who were there at the brook don't mean they're done. They just, their legs are tired. They're still good, but I'm telling you, those you share with, I don't know why I'm saying this, those you share with who couldn't fight with you at that moment, they'll fight with you at the next battle. But you just can't count them out. Amen? sometimes there's people that you that know you've been kind to them, gracious to them, forgiving for them. Some of those people will fight with you, go down with you, go hard with you when other people won't. Because they recognize you could have cut me loose a long time ago. You could have shook me loose a long time ago, but you were kind to me. Man, there's something about being with somebody for years. When I look at my husband, we've been married 31 years, going on 32 years soon. And I look at all the things he dealt and done for me and dealt with me with. I reached a place in my marriage that, you know what? I don't care what happens. He's already been good to me. Because sometimes there's some things that people done in yesterday is good for tomorrow. What I'm talking about, he don't have to do nothing else tomorrow. He's already done enough. And sometimes his check that I cashed on last year can carry me through 2019. But what I'm saying, he's already been good. He's already been faithful. He's already been loving. He's already been kind. So it should count something from me. Who am I talking to? Somebody you've been hanging with, somebody you've been living with, they already been good to you. They already been kind to you. They already been faithful to you. Yeah, they're not saying everything right. Yeah, they're not doing everything right. Yeah, they're not showing up like they should. But does yesterday count for anything? Does their faithfulness do anything for you now? And that's what David did. He regrouped and he shared. Marriages gotta last, y'all. Man, you know, we've been married 31 years. We know everything about each other. But sometimes you just gotta go, this is new and fresh. And you work what you have. Everybody trading everybody else in for something new and different. Did the 10 years count for something? Did the children bearing the children count for something? Somebody said, be faithful. So regroup. Psalms 27:3 said, though a host should encamp against me. 27:3, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. And this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. There's some answers you will only get when you come to church. So this regrouping, church going, church attendance is necessary for regrouping. Somebody say refocus. That's the adjustment of the lens. Our perspective needs to be adjusted. We've been looking at the leader that you serve in the ministry for years. It's all that's just so.
Are you expecting to have a great year? This can still be your fresh start. Just know that God, our great performer, will work everything out for your good. Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey and ministry guest Bishop Liston Page will encourage you to expect great things this year. Order this powerful three-part series today for your love gift of $15 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for the 2017 New Year's Revival.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.